Some very strong opinions from one doctor in Texas. But when does a question about the morality of abortion in a nation where abortion is legal become the basis for a legitimate regulation for doctors? The practice of medicine is subject to all kinds of regulations at the state and federal level. Where does this Texas law requiring an abortion doctor to be affiliated with a local hospital fit into the overall regulatory environment for doctors? Jessie Hill is an expert on the law, regulation, and medicine. She's a professor of law at Case Western Reserve University, and she joins us from the studios of WKSU in Akron, Ohio. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So what is the precedent for legislatures and state, you know, lawmakers essentially intervening in the practice of medicine in all realms, even outside of abortion?
Well, it's kind of complicated. The traditional understanding has always been that states in particular are there to look out for patients, for citizens' health and safety. So that's kind of a traditional role of government. That's what government does. And since about the late 19th century, states have really been involved in regulating the practice of medicine specifically. So things like licensing, certain requirements to practice medicine, other creating state medical boards, things like that, and of course drug regulation, which happens also at the federal level, all kind of dates back to that turn of the century, late 19th, early 20th century era. So there's nothing particularly exceptional about states getting involved, about the government having some say in regulating medicine. Of course, we want them to keep quacks out of the business, right, and unsafe medications off the market and things like that. But there's really kind of this, from a legal perspective, a tension between the state's traditional power to regulate medicine and healthcare and things to keep people safe, and this individual right, constitutional right to choose reproductive health care, that kind of pulls in the other direction.
Well, how does a law professor and how does the law really handle that tension in the sense that if people are going to mount challenges to this law, I suppose the counter argument would be whatever a doctor may feel about being regulated, there are all kinds of regulations and you may not like this one, but you're going to have to live with it.
Right. Well, in the abortion context specifically, the Supreme Court has tried to sort of strike this balance between recognizing the state's traditional power and recognizing that there is a really important individual right involved here, autonomy right to make decisions about, you know, your not just your reproductive health, but also whether to become a parent or not. So it has developed a very complex doctrine around abortion specifically and has said that the government can regulate abortion just like any other medical procedure unless it puts what's called an undue burden on women's access to abortion. So that is usually the main question in these kinds of cases, is whether a particular regulation is what the court refers to as an undue burden on the abortion right.
And so the question for the doctor we just spoke with is whether it's an undue burden for his largely Latina clientele there in South Texas. In terms of it being an undue burden for him as a doctor, he probably has very little standing in that regard.
Yeah, that's right. That's one thing that's sort of interesting about the whole way that this jurisprudence, this area of law has developed, is that the emphasis has been on women's access and not on the burden on physicians or on physicians' right to practice. So the question often just boils down to, you know, is it burdening women? And that's a hard line to draw. You know, I think, you know, once you start having a situation where you have to travel 300 miles or 100 miles or something to reach a provider, you know, I think you're in that domain.
Feminist critics of the Roe v. Wade decision, ironically, have suggested that the amount of text in that decision that really talks about the practice of medicine, as opposed to purely talking about a woman's right to choose, invites legislatures on some level to intervene and control and regulate this process of what physicians will do. Yes?
That's right. I mean, some feminists have suggested that the court would have been better off if it had emphasized that this is really a women's equality issue. You know, I think you could come at it from another angle as well, though, and say that if the court had really recognized instead that this is about a right to make healthcare decisions autonomously, just like the right to refuse medical treatment, the right to, you know, we talk about the right to die, that, you know, had recognized a really robust right in the doctor-patient relationship, that that would have been another way in which doctors might have been protected from some of these really onerous regulations of the practice of medicine.
Well, the questions that will come up with the courts in this term and subsequently. Jesse Hill is professor of law at Case Western Reserve University. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.